The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online. Plus, we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Natasha Froese and I'm joined by Katie Balls and Fraser Nelson. Well, Rishi Sunak last night finally ruled out having a May election, but Katie, you've been saying this for ages, right?
Yeah, I think it's been quite obvious for a few reasons that there was not going to be an election on the day of local elections. We have said that many times on this podcast. There was a point when I think it was definitely a possibility and something that some in Rishi Sunak's inner circle wanted. But I think the fact that the polls have, if anything, you know, I say not improved, but almost gone backwards, means that even those who make the argument, oh, you should, you know, cut your losses and go now, the practicalities of doing that when you're on 20% in some places is just very difficult. But I think what's interesting is when we were talking with Paul Goodman yesterday about, you know, well, they've been suggesting it's not going to happen, but they haven't completely ruled it out. And obviously they must have listened to the podcast and then Rishi Sunak gave the interview on our advice. But the fact, you know, why hadn't they completely ruled it out? I think that you could see from what Rishi Sunak said. So it was an interview with ITV News West Country. He was talking about local elections, the police and crime commissioners, the mayoralties coming up in May. And he was asked if he'd call a general election at the same time. And he said, there won't be a general election on that day. When there is a general election, what matters is the choice. So I think the reason that he has been so specific after just saying it's unlikely for some time is because the speculation has become just destabilizing for the government, because Labour today try and do the chicken thing, but also I think probably more so within the Tory party, it has felt as though Sunak's critics, and it's been noted by Number 10, are the ones pushing this idea of May to make people more panicky. So I think they're hoping this will calm some down. And then I think, you know, he hasn't actually said, you know, could it be the 9th of May? I don't think that's going to happen, but you know, it's very specifically the 2nd of May. But I think one of the reasons, tactically, that they don't want to get into the business of saying it's definitely not May is then the follow-up question is, well, you said it's definitely not May. I think they had to do this, but like, the reluctance is, well, surely, can you say it's definitely not June? And if they can't say it's definitely not June, everyone says it's a June election. And it would be like that forevermore, which is why I think they still want a little bit of flexibility. But the best bet, I would say, is October, November.
And John Ashworth is going to have to pay his £10 bet now, isn't he?
Yes, which is a much cheaper bet, to be fair, than the bet Rishi Sunak might have to pay if he can't get a flight to Rwanda, because then he went for the more pricey £1,000 and perhaps a more tone-deaf one.
And Fraser, Defence Minister James Heapy has said this morning that he is also stepping down as minister and not standing in the next general election. We had Theresa May, obviously, last week. Is this just becoming a constant theme now for this election?
Yes, we had Brendan Lewis, former party chairman, resigning just a few days ago, saying he wouldn't stand again. James Heapy is exactly the sort of MP the Tories would seek to maintain, a former soldier, very effective armed forces minister. He's been admired as a minister, admired as a politician, but he represents Wales and Somerset, a seat he will struggle to hang on to at the next election. I suppose if you're of that sort of age, you know, he could certainly have a second career now. There's a big decision ahead of you. Do you spend the rest of his year fighting a losing battle, or what's likely to be a losing battle? Or do you start to say you're not going to stand and then try to think of phase two? A lot of people are starting to think of phase two. There are some MPs in safe seats who, or safe-ish, no such thing as a safe seat nowadays for the Tories, I don't think, but who are considering standing down. And you've got still people looking for them. David Frost, who's become quite a big figure in the future of the Conservative conversation, is still a peer who's looking for a seat but hasn't found one. Then Seb Payne, formerly of this parish, is still looking for a seat. I think there's a Twitter account saying, has Seb Payne got a seat yet? And every day it just tweets out, no, but good luck, Seb. But meanwhile, we're going to see just a pace of... A few days ago, I spoke to... an MP who is standing again, and I was thinking, you're probably not going to win, are you? And then he starts quoting that Tennyson poem, "Onto the Valley of Death Rode the 600." And his point is, I think, that there's a kind of charge of a light brigade feel to many Tories who aren't standing down, but nonetheless have decided to go out fighting. James Heapy, for understandable reasons, isn't one of them.
And Katie, he said it's for family purposes, but there is also a debate going on with defence spending at the moment.
Yes, and James Heapy has always been pretty clear. I think there was an interview where he said he would consider resigning if defence spending didn't reach a certain point. And that was a while ago, so that's not per se about something currently going on. But what is true is there is unhappiness, wow, a surprise, in the Tory party, particularly because the budget did not have anything major on defence. Now, there was some funding, but it wasn't to do with the big pledge. The Tory MPs want to see a boost to defence spending. And I think, you know, you had a bit of a campaign ahead of the budget who was saying, all very well, the tax cuts, but actually funding defence is something that we need to do in terms of the global challenges right now. You think about Russia, Ukraine, you think what's happening further afield. But I think particularly this idea of Trump, Putin, how is that all going to shake out? And then also, the argument you hear is this is an area where the Tories are quite strong on. And yes, you can find polls where Labour are ahead in every single policy area these days. But at least a few months ago, when you looked at those polls, one of the few areas where there'd be level plagging or occasionally the Tories ahead is defence. I think there is unhappiness in parts of the Tory party. Like, you look at Rishi Sunak's five priorities, we hear a lot less about them these days. But defence was not one of them. And I remember speaking to ministers saying, you know, how can you not have defence there, given our history, given our leading role in Ukraine soon after the invasion by Russia? And then the appointment of Grant Shapps to replace Ben Wallace, who was clearly a very strong figure here, I think was part driven by a feeling in Number 10 that they could trust Grant Shapps not to go in manoeuvres to try and, you know, almost go at war with the centre. Because there's a long history of defence secretaries obviously trying to get more money. But if you think back to the Gavin Williamson days, obviously he got a Dad's Army nickname from this, but that was because he ended up in a spending row with Philip Hammond. And Gavin Williamson told him all these stunts to try and push for money, and that's something that I think Number 10 really wanted to avoid. And they thought Grant Shapps, good on the media, but also someone who was a loyalist who they could work with. Yet, Grant Shapps has now called for defence spending to rise to 3% of GDP. And I think that this comes after Tom Tugendhat and Anne-Marie Trevelyan, two ministers, published a piece over the weekend which was calling for a rise in defence spending. What was quite funny with this article where they urged for a rise in defence spending to 2.5% now is it looked a bit like a rebellion. It looked a bit like ministers talking out. And should you really have ministers saying something should happen now, which isn't happening, even if the ambition is officially 2.5? But I think they both had a slight wriggle room. I think they're almost being naughty children by misbehaving, but within the limits of what they're allowed to do. Because as has been pointed out, they published the article on LinkedIn. Now, in the ministerial code of what you're allowed to do, you don't have to get sign off from Number 10 on social media posts. So I think they were able to say, oh, well, we haven't actually broken any rule. And also on 2.5 specifically, it is the ambition of this government to hit 2.5. So are you really rebelling if you're just saying you'd love that ambition to happen really soon? You'd love that government target. So when I say perhaps being a bit naughty, I mean, I think there was a very serious point and good argument you made on increasing defence spending. But I just think there's the scope with which they used it was quite creative, one could say.
James Heapy's brother is actually standing in Bath, so the family tradition will continue. But I think both of them are going to lose to Lib Dems.
Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, Katie. And thanks for listening.